What's going on, boys and girls? Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. We are here on an international break, trying to figure out what the hell to talk to you guys about. So we are going to take a look at the Champions League, try to make sense of this new format with Scotty. What are they even calling the group stage?
The league stage now.
The league stage. No more traditional groups. Everybody's playing 8 games, 32 teams in total. So let's try to break it down.
I think it's going to be an interesting little experiment for us. I mean, we're so used to coming into the start of Champions League, looking at group winners to advance from group, trying to break down who got the easy group, who got the group of death. And there's no real like advantage anymore to being like a top team and getting an easy group because everybody plays 2 teams from each pot. So it's kind of an interesting twist. I don't know how I feel about it right now. I mean, I think as a fan of somebody in pot one, I would have preferred maybe an easier draw for, you know, for Liverpool, but
which you worked hard for.
Yeah, like it does make it a little bit more balanced, I guess, in that sense where it's not just a cakewalk for these teams that are historically always in pot one because they, you know, have a higher coefficient, which is usually because they're in pot one, so they get a better draw. And, you know, maybe it's a little self-fulfilling in that sense. But so I'm going to be open to it. I think it also helps with the new format. If you're a team that can finish in the top 8, maybe I'll break that down just in case some people are kind of coming into this unsure of how this new format works. But 32 teams, the top 8 will, after the full 8 matches are played, it's a league table, the top 8 will advance automatically to the round of 16. The next 16 teams, so teams placed, I think, from 9th to 24, if my math is correct, they now go into a knockout, and it's a two-legged matchup. The winner of each of those matchups advances to the round of 16 with the other 8 clubs. And if you're in the bottom 8, you're out. So there's a lot of emphasis on not just necessarily performing and advancing, but trying to get into that top 8 because you basically get a buy out of it. So I'm clubs like Liverpool, who historically hate fixture congestion, and I'm sure some of the other English clubs like City and Arsenal will probably be fighting for those top 8 spots, because if you can cut 2 games off your calendar in a, you know, going to be highly contested league calendar year, you're going to try and do it. So with that said, there's a couple of different things that we're going to look at for odds. You know, no more group stage, group winners, no more to advance. So we have league stage winner, which is what we'll look at. We have league stage, I guess, loser, bottom of the table. And then we have a couple top 8 odds for the clubs that will try to advance out of that top, you know, out of the league stage without having to buy. So,
yeah. And one quick question for you, yeah. Scotty, did the bottom, like the teams that get eliminated, do they go down to Europa League, or has that
not anymore?
No.
Yeah. I think Europa and Conference League have the same exact format, 32
That's
teams,
true.
And then they top 8 for their move on. The next 16 have their knockout. So I don't think there is any more consolation bracket going on with the different European levels here. So yeah, you really got to put your best foot forward. I think, with the added fairness now, like, you know, Aston Villa, I think, is coming in at pot 4. You know, they probably have a chance now at least advancing out, whereas maybe in a group stage where you're getting paired up against a team from pot 1, pot 2, and pot 3, you might get a tough draw. And I think that's kind of what happened to Newcastle the 1 year that they made it up, you know, 2 seasons ago. They got a really brutal draw and they didn't make it out of the group stage. So Aston Villa has a chance, maybe not in the top 8, but certainly in a middle 16, I guess we'll call it, situation where they maybe get a favorable matchup in the knockout rounds and can get themselves to the round of 16.
And I appreciate the breakdown. I think that's helpful. I mean, for all of us to understand, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the reason for, right? This is, it's all about money. It's way more money for UEFA, it's more money for the clubs. Obviously if you more chances to get points and wins and dollars. And I guess for the fans, it's kind of cool, right? Like we get to see more games, different teams. Sucks for the players. Feel bad for them. I mean, like you said, fixture congestion. We've talked about it for 3 straight weeks, right? These guys are already coming into the season tired. Now you're adding more games, on top. So definitely difficult. We'll see how these teams navigate. I think definitely from a betting perspective, we're going to see more of what we've seen so far. No team has gotten off to a really flying start, right? We see Real Madrid struggling. We see team like, I guess they look better now, but Inter was struggling a little bit. Milan, name a team, right? why can't I think of the team from Germany that went undefeated last year? What?
Leverkusen?
Leverkusen has already lost a game, right? 3 weeks into the year, or 2 weeks into the year for Germany, right? They started late. So expect to see more of that. You know, like you said, we're going to try to make sense of it, break it down from an odds perspective. Unfortunately, there's really not much to bet on yet. I really wish there was team props. I wish there was point props. I wish there was some of that other stuff, but we'll do what we can.
Yeah. And the good news is what we're lacking in like the, you know, futures playbook here for Champions League, I think we'll get made up for when we actually get into the league play, because you will get matchups now pretty regularly against two teams from like a pot one. So you'll at least see a marquee matchup like a Madrid versus Liverpool, for example, or Milan versus Bayern. That'll happen now a lot more frequently within the Champions League stage, as opposed to group stage. It was really up to if you had one of these top tier clubs that somehow fall into pot two or pot three from an absence in Europe for a couple seasons. So I think that'll be beneficial to at least the viewability of it. You're also see, you know, fixture congestion, but you're also going to see more strong lineups throughout the duration of this competition, right? Like how many times have we seen City get an easy draw, and then by match week five, they've pretty much clinched the advance, and a draw against a Red Star Belgrade or a Salzburg gets them, you know, the group win. So they can basically rest their guys the last month of the Champions League group stage. So I think even though the early future lines are a little thin, we'll get, once we get into the actual matches themselves, there'll be more marquee matchups for us to, you know, break down. There's going to be a lot more interest in them, and we're not going to see as many like rested half lineups from some of these clubs that are already looking into, you know, March for Champions League because they've locked up the group win.
No, fair enough. I think the one other interesting thing I'm going to be on the lookout for is the, I guess you're taking away home field advantage for some of these teams, right? I mean, it's, you're still getting four home, four away, but if you had a, it's kind of random, you know, who you got home and away, right? Like if you're, you know, if you're a team that's in Eastern Europe, let's say, and you have a really, really strong home field advantage, right? We've bet on that plenty. You may be facing the hardest possible team at home, which doesn't really help you. Whereas if you had a more favorable opponent, an opponent on your level, getting that home game was a surefire way to pick up points. And now that may not be the case. So definitely something to look out for.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's broken down. You get one home game and one away game for each pot, right? So there's two teams from each pot that you're playing against. And you're right, Nick, because there's still teams that sneak into the pot one that, you know, you maybe not consider a true, you know, top tier team. So Liverpool, for example, their pot one draw, they had Real Madrid at home, probably a good thing, even though Real Madrid is a stronger pot one team. Their away team for pot one was Red Bull Leipzig. So certainly a favorable draw in that sense, because when you're thinking about some of the other teams in that pot, like Inter and Barcelona, PSG, City, obviously they can't draw because they're from the same country, but definitely a more favorable draw for your away match, given, you know, where Leipzig are, especially at this point in the season, with their schedule. So I think without further ado, maybe we can hop into it. Looking at some of the odds now to win the league. So not necessarily winning the whole Champions League and lifting the trophy.
Wait, hold up
in May.
We gotta start off with a disclaimer. These lines will vary exceptionally.
Oh, yeah.
Shop around. If you have multiple books in your state, if you use offshore, whatever you can do, definitely shop around. We're going to give you general lines. They can be plus or minus anything.
Yeah. And for reference, we're using DraftKings. So if you see a number that's better than what we're handing out, please let us know, because usually we don't necessarily have four books in front of us as we record these. So if you see
Check Hard Rock.
Say something.
Just to compare.
So with that said, league stage winner. So top of the table after eight league matches, no surprise here, City being the favorite, plus 300, Madrid falling right up behind them at plus 500, Arsenal plus 650, Bayern at plus 800, and then you start getting into Liverpool, Barcelona, Dortmund, Atletico, all around plus 1,000 to plus 1,500. So that's probably where you're going to see, you know, most of the money put in, and somewhere in there. There's a couple of long shots that might be interesting to some of our Serie A listeners. So Inter Milan at plus 2,000, AC Milan at plus 4,000, Juve at plus 3,000, Atalanta at plus 5,000. So Italy clubs not really well represented, Nick. Is that surprising to you, or is that basically what you'd expect, especially after the first 3 weeks of the season in Italy?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Inter constantly gets disrespected when it comes to future odds. I think we saw that 2 years ago when they made it to the final. I think we saw it last year where let's be honest, they got upset by Atletico Madrid. There's really no two ways about it, but we locked them in at like plus 1800, which was a silly number for the defending champs in the second round. So they would be my go-to here, but you know, very clearly the strongest, deepest team in Italy, the team with the best Champions League pedigree. I think that's a very playable number. And I guess it's cool that we're breaking up futures into two separate things, right? Because we can bet on a future for the first phase and then not be impacted for the rest of it. So yeah, I don't mind that. I think the other teams, they just haven't shown enough to this stage, and there's teams that are better. I mean, can you make an argument that a Milan or an Atalanta are on par with Atletico or Dortmund or Liverpool or, you know, Arsenal? Yeah, I think they're on par. I don't think Arsenal is three times as good as some of these other teams, but is anybody going to catch Madrid or City or maybe even Barcelona the way they've started the season, scoring about 1,000 goals a game? That's tough for me to say. And outside of the teams we're talking about, I mean, who really else has a chance? I mean, it's not PSG, right? If Inter is the most disrespected team from an odd standpoint, I think PSG is the most overvalued team from an odd standpoint, year in and year out.
Yeah, especially this year. I mean, PSG, you could always bet on Mbappe kind of doing some sort of carry or, you know, whatever, some of the bigger names that they've had throughout the years carrying the club. But it feels like they're kind of in a weird rebuilding season for PSG. And, you know, even going back as far as last year, rumors about whether or not their ownership is looking to kind of move on and find another club, maybe in England, that they can kind of pull the strings at. So there may not even be as much motivation within, you know, ownership at this point to try to chase the Champions League for PSG now. They might be just okay letting them walk the league, and then not necessarily investing while they look for their next plaything. But yeah, I'd say that's a pretty fair evaluation. I think the one thing to call out of those teams in Serie A, the one that has the easiest schedule, the easiest ELO average opponent rating, is Atalanta. But when you look at like the three, you know, toughest fixtures in their schedule, they have home to Real Madrid, they are away to Barcelona, and they're home to Arsenal. And those are three really tough games for, I don't care, anybody. Yeah. Like, you can pick anybody on this list. You could be Liverpool, it could be City, you could be Bayern, you could be PSG. There's no way you're getting, you know, if you get 6 points from those three games, you've done incredibly well.
If you get four, that's
four even. Right. So considering that that's like the quote unquote easiest draw from the Italy clubs, like that's a pretty tough schedule. Now, obviously,
you got to run the table pretty much after that.
Yeah, the bottom part gets a little easier. Now, they have Celtic at home is pot three, Young Boys away, pot three, Stuttgart away is pot four. And then they have, Sturm? It's SGR. It's one of the Eastern European clubs.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, you got to take care of those games, right? You can't drop any points.
Yeah. So if you get 12 points there, you know, maybe you're doing okay, but that's not 12, you know, 12 points there, but 4 points best out of those top three. I don't think 16 points is really where you're going to need to be if you want to win the league stage.
No, but definitely not.
Something that we can keep an eye on when we get into the top eight future.
Yeah. You've talked me out of their future. Not that I was placing it anyway, but I think that's a gauntlet. I don't know any team that, I mean, is anybody else facing those three teams or like similar to those three?
Probably not. Right. It'd be pretty crazy. So I think as far as like a top three goes, that's probably as hard as it gets. Maybe if you swap out Arsenal for Man City, I think that's the only other way that actually you can't, because that's a different pot. So yeah, that's probably the hardest three, maybe swapping out Barcelona for City then. City, Madrid, Arsenal, probably the three hardest that you can find. But shifting gears into like maybe some of the clubs that could potentially win the league stage, I don't think we need to talk about City at plus 300. If you want to take that, by all means, but there's no interest there. Madrid at plus 500. You're getting closer to the right side of the number where we want to be. Certainly has a good chance. I think their draw is actually pretty easy as well. They set up against Dortmund at home, Liverpool away, and then they have, as mentioned, Atalanta away, Milan at home. For their four hardest fixtures. So certainly winnable.
They have the two home games you would want.
Correct.
Out of those, pretty much. Correct. So
I would say they'd probably want to play Liverpool home and Dortmund away. I think Madrid could certainly beat Dortmund away.
Fair.
And Liverpool, Anfield in Europe, certainly a different atmosphere, certainly brings a little bit more magic to it. So that's maybe the trickiest fixture, you know, hand raised bias included here. But yeah, getting the two Italy clubs, Atalanta and Milan. Atalanta away, that should be certainly winnable. Milan at
home. They already took care of them once this year. So
yeah, with the way that Milan have been playing too so far, certainly winnable. Mm-hmm. So that I could see that, you know, obviously you're going to have a heavy favorite for Real Madrid against any of the pot three or pot four teams. So I don't think we need to break that down. But I think that's an okay one if you're really just trying to be chalky. Arsenal plus 650, I would avoid, just being where they are right now as a club. They have Inter away, PSG home, Atalanta away, and Shakhtar home. So they do have a little bit of an easier draw there.
Lucky they have Shakhtar at home.
Yeah.
That's one of those examples we're talking about where, hey, listen, they're certainly not the same club they were 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but playing them at home is a huge advantage.
Yeah, but they do have Girona away, which I think could be a tricky pot four fixture.
Tricky.
Of all the pot fours, that's probably one of the harder ones. And yeah, I mean, Dynamo Zagreb at home, it's probably better to have them at home than Sporting a Lisbon away. So it's certainly winnable, but I don't know. I don't love Arsenal in an 8-game European league fixture to finish the top.
I'd
of the
like
table.
The number to be a little closer to four digits.
Yeah, especially like third in that list is pretty crazy to me.
Right.
So now we'll get into the two that I like. These are the two that if I was putting money on, I would consider either Bayern at plus 800 or Liverpool plus 1.
Self mute for Scotty there. I missed what you said Liverpool was at, but I think they've obviously gotten off to a high flying start. Bayern, I don't know that I'm sold on just yet, but Bayern in the Champions League are something special, really, at the end of the day. Doesn't matter who their coach is. Harry Kane, you say what you want about him. I don't know. Seems to kind of like, can he get over the hump? I don't know, but seems to kind of be there all the time. I think probably a decent number for Bayern, if we're being honest, if we believe company could figure it out. But like I said, they have the players, they have the talent. Like, how much do they need to be coached?
Yeah. Sorry. Power outage in my office for whatever reason. Mike is back on. The one thing I like about Bayern, their schedule is about as easy as it gets. I think it's the second easiest, but when you look at their two pot one fixtures, they have away at Barcelona, a team that they have thoroughly dominated in the Champions League in the last 10 years. I think I looked it up. Barcelona have kept Bayern under 3 goals just once in their last 6 matches, and that was in a 2-0 win by Bayern. So I think Bayern has Barcelona's number. I don't care like what state they're in as a club. I think they're going to be able to compete against Barcelona in Champions League at any point. They have PSG at home, which we just talked about. This is not, you know, necessarily a scary PSG by any means, but even when they were a top tier side, you know, they've had their European pitfalls. So not too bad there. They have Shakhtar away for pot two, which sure, you know, at least it's not, you know, Shakhtar is in Germany this time. So that's a short drive for Bayern as opposed to a flight somewhere else. And then they have Dynamo Zagreb, Feyenoord, Aston Villa away, which is probably maybe the second trickiest away fixture. And then
Feyenoord's no cakewalk. I mean, they haven't been that great this year, but
they lost their manager. He's coaching Liverpool.
Obviously. I think they're on the cusp of losing players too. I don't know what the transfer window situation is, if they stay open longer or not, but I don't know. I mean, there's easier games.
Yeah. So I think Bayern at plus 800 with the fixtures that they have, you know, when you're talking about getting 6 points from your two pot one games, like they probably have as clear a chance of doing it as anybody else in this list, aside from maybe City, who have Inter and PSG. But at plus 800, I think I'd probably throw my hat in the ring with Bayern as my preferred future choice. Secondary, I do like Liverpool at plus 1,000. I don't usually speak highly of Liverpool and at the risk of jinxing things, but with the way that they've started the season, they've really dominated in England in terms of creating chances. I think they have 16 clear-cut chances created to City's 11, which is the second place. And they have yet to concede a goal under Arne Slot. So playing the right type of football to kind of, you know, have a consistent run through a, you know, 8-game fixture list and that's what you'll really need in order to be in a top, you know, one or two spots here. So I do like them at plus 1,000. I think they're getting a little bit undervalued just because, you know, they didn't perform very well last year. So I don't really blame, you know, the odds makers for doing it.
I'll also try to take an unbiased approach here and back you up a little bit. They haven't gone to their bench yet, like in three games or needed, like looked like they've needed to. So I think the depth that they have up front is going to serve them well in two competitions.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about bringing, you know, Nunez, Chiesa and Gakpo off the bench to rotate your attacking three. I think the back four is not as heralded as terms of depth, but I think the depth is certainly there between Joe Gomez, who's been playing in this Liverpool side for it seems like 9 years now, has as much experience in, you know, Champions League and the top flight as anybody, even though he's, I think, only like 27, 28. Kwanzaa is like the next up and coming CB who I think at times outperformed Konate last season. So I certainly think he can slot in there. And then Connor Bradley, you know, deputizing for Trent Alexander-Arnold for much of last season, kind of raised some eyebrows. I think people didn't really have him on their radar. He's another one of Liverpool's youth academy graduates. So certainly capable of pulling in. So really the question comes down to like, how much can they rotate that midfield? We know that, you know, starting three midfield of Szoboszlai, McAllister, and Gravenberg have performed well so far, but injuries are going to happen, especially in the midfield, especially with how much those three run. Can they rotate, you know, Szoboszlai in with Harvey Elliott? Can they rotate Endo in for Gravenberg and not lose, you know, too much? That's going to be the question, especially in against some of these top tier clubs in the Champions League.
Great.
Aside from that, Nick, was there any other clubs you wanted to shout out?
I'm really trying to see. I mean, they would have to have a really, really easy schedule. I mean, Leipzig, I feel like maybe is a little bit undervalued, but how good are they really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm struggling to make a case for anybody else at this
point. Yeah, at least not for winning the league.
Right.
So we can actually segue then into our top eight. I think top eight, they're not in every book right now, so you have to shop around. But we do have odds from Odds Checker across a couple of books, so we'll use those for now. But I think, again, starting off at the same place we started off the league winner, starting off in Italy, Juve, AC Milan, Atalanta, all somewhere between plus 250 and plus 400 to finish in the top eight. I think one of those teams, I think you have to have it. I think at the end of the league stage, there will certainly be at least one team from Serie A in the top eight.
I hope so. I think it'll be Inter. I mean, I know they have a pretty tough schedule, but I'd be very surprised if they didn't make top eight.
Yeah. I think Inter is plus 150, plus 200, give or take.
It's okay.
It's, you know, it's certainly not juicy, but it's still plus money for, you know, a team that basically, I think if you win six games, you know, 18 points, that's probably a lock for top eight at this point. So again, going through their list, their games are Manchester City away, probably not going to win that one. It's a toughie, but Leipzig at home, certainly winnable. Arsenal at home could be a win. You know, they have to play their best game, but having Arsenal at home is certainly
big rivalry game on Twitter.
Yeah. And then Leverkusen away, tricky, but like you said, already lost in their second week of, you know, Bundesliga. Do they have what it takes to kind of recapture what they did last season? And last season they played in what it was Europa, right? So they didn't really get a run in Champions League. So we don't really know what it's going to look like when they're playing some of these top teams outside of, you know, outside of Germany. And then the easy ones, Serena, you know, Zvona, whatever the Czech, not Czech, Svena Zveta. Where are they from?
Red Star Belgrade.
Red Star Belgrade.
Yeah, they like, I don't know, not rebranded, but like they go by
Croatia?
Their
Croatia,
Serbian
right?
name. Serbia.
Serbian. So that's one of their pot threes, Young Boys.
I is that away or home?
That's home. Young Boys
clutch.
Is away.
Super clutch.
Yep. And then they have one of the Spartas. I think Sparta Prague is
okay. I think they're the worst team.
And Monaco in pot four. So
okay.
I think you can probably pencil in four-ish wins in those bottom four clubs.
Hope so.
Pick two. You know, maybe they can beat out maybe they can beat Arsenal or Shakhtar, or not Shakhtar, what did I say? Leverkusen, excuse me. And that's your six. Now you're you know, into the top eight. If you had to pick one more team from Italy, Nick, you like Juve at basically plus 250, AC Milan at plus 250, or Atalanta plus 400?
We went throughout a lot to schedule. It's not easy, but they tend to get up for these games. I think they, I don't want to say they have the lowest expectation. I mean, they did just win Europa League. But the number's where it should be, right? Like, like what has Juve done other than beat some relegation teams? And, you know, they essentially swapped out their entire squad, their manager. I think it's just too early to pencil it in that, like, it's a foregone conclusion that Juventus is back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're saying it's too early to hop back on the bandwagon given what we saw from them last season.
And listen, they look good. They got a lot younger. They have what many people view as a good striker. I'll keep, you know, we don't have that long, so I'll keep my comments to myself there. But let's see. I mean, it's a return to Champions League, and they take it seriously. Could they make some noise? Maybe. Should they be plus 250? No, I don't think so. I think that's a little too short.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you in some regards. You know, no disrespect to Milan right now. I think their
biggest disappointment for me so far.
They haven't been good. I think their draw is pretty challenging between, you know, having to play Liverpool, Real Madrid, Leverkusen. They do have Club Brugge as one of their pot two teams, but I don't know. I think there's a lot more that they have to navigate than what Atalanta or Juve would have to. If I'm picking between Juve and Atalanta to finish in the top eight, I think it would surprise me, even though Atalanta has dismantled Liverpool in recent history in the Champions League, it would surprise me to see them that high up on the table when it's all said and done. I certainly think they advance. I think they make it into that, you know, sweet spot, middle 16, 9 to 24 range. But if I'm looking at one to finish in the top eight, Juve plus 250 over Atalanta plus 400, I think I'd probably give the nod to Juve.
Okay, let's see.
Elsewise, I mean, we're not going to talk about any of these heavy favorites. Anybody that's, you know, not plus money, so that eliminates everybody from Liverpool basically on down. Even Barcelona has snuck in there at you know, negative odds. But clubs like you know, Atletico, they're plus, you know, 225. Villa is plus 300. Leipzig plus 500.
That's the kind of team I'm looking for, not having everybody's schedule right in front of me. Like, it's the teams that obviously have the pedigree, right? They've been in the Champions League, they've performed, they've made it to a second round of a Champions League. They're perennial favorites in their own leagues, right? So I like a Sporting Lisbon, like a Leipzig, like a PSV, right? I think those teams probably have some value to them, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how much odds change from, like, after match week one, right? Yeah. Like, you see an unexpected team pick up 3 points. How drastically does that move their number? You see a favorite drop 3 points. How drastically does that move their number?
Yep.
You know, I don't know. But, I mean, give me somebody like a PSV, right? A team that, like, I think has lost, like, 5 games in 2 years or something like that. They're going to be able to feast against competition that's kind of on their level. And I think they could be a shout. I think a Sporting could be a shout. Or Benfica, I always get them confused. So if you ask me who's on which team right now, I probably couldn't tell you. That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I'm trying to think, like you said, everybody else that's kind of a heavy hitter. But, you know, I'd be shocked if any of them dropped off.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there. I like your point about match week one, too. You probably take a look at some of the fixtures that are coming up in that one, determine if you need to lock in your pick now or if you can afford to wait. For example, I think Liverpool and Milan play week one. So if you're thinking about betting Liverpool, might be better to lock that in now, because if they do beat Milan in that match, I think that's going to probably drop their odds quite a bit. Yeah. But, you know, if you're looking at Milan and you're a believer in them long term and you're understanding that they're going through a rough patch right now, but they'll figure it out, then you might want to hold off, because they'll probably have, you know, longer odds if you wait a couple weeks. But yeah, I think by and large, I think outside of, like we said, the clubs from Italy, you know, maybe an Aston Villa, I think they've looked pretty strong to start the season. And, you know, they've certainly have.
They made money on them 2 weeks.
Yeah, the only concern I have with them is depth, right? If they start to struggle with having to play 2 games a week, like we've seen every other English Premier League club that comes into the Champions League for the first time in, you know, whatever X number of years, That's typically a pain point, although I think they'd had a deep run in conference league last season. So maybe they have a little bit of experience managing the minutes in that sense.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Stick to the tried and true teams right now.
Yeah. So I think outside of that, I might just throw in Villa plus 300 and probably maybe like a Juve plus 250 for top eight. Those would be another two that I would look at.
Not bad.
All right. We'll do this next one. We'll do keep this one brief. It's the bottom of the table. Teams to finish the dead last. We would call it relegation if there was such a thing. As we discussed at the top of the show, no relegation to Europa in this year's edition that we're aware of, at the very least. Top six teams: Slovan Bratislava plus 400, Red Star Belgrade plus 550, Dynamo Zagreb plus 550, Sturm Graz plus 750, Young Boys plus 900, Sparta Prague plus 1,000. I know this one is more of like throwing a dart. I think this one really is looking at what the draws are for each. I will say the second hardest draw in the entire pool of 32 was Sparta Prague. Their draw is just a little bit easier than PSG, but aside from that, they have Inter home, City away, Atletico home, Leverkusen away, Salzburg home, Feyenoord away, Stuttgart away. So
that's nothing brutal. They may not win a game.
Nothing really challenging there. I mean, not too challenging. Nothing really easy there. But at what are they? I think they were the
second favorite.
Oh no, there's Sparta Prague is plus 1,000.
Yeah, give me so that.
Maybe we just kind of
give me that all day. That's
I read through the list and I was like, I think they're actually not the top. Slovan Bratislava was the quote unquote favorite here at plus 400. And I'm trying to find where their list is of fixtures. I don't even see them in this.
Oh, you have to have at least two easier games than that. At least give me like one or two home games that they're going to win.
You know, Barcelona away, City home, Atletico away, Milan home. I don't love any of those to start things off. Celtic away, Dynamo Zagreb home, Girona away, Stuttgart home. I could see them picking up a win or two here.
I wish that Celtic game was home for them.
Yeah, but look, I mean, Zagreb home, if you are Slovan, must win. You need that. Yeah, that's the one where like the fans have to show up. They have to know, hey, if we're going to get a win in Champions League this season, this might be it. If coach was here, I'd ask him to give us the preview of Stuttgart versus Slovan, because I think that's a coach worldwide problem.
And Roma probably played both of those teams over the past 3 years.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that slate, even knowing as little as I do about Slovan, it seems like they have two or three chances to pick up points there. Whereas I think with Sparta Prague, right? I mean, Stuttgart away, Feyenoord away,
tough.
Salzburg home. I don't know. I don't really love any of those, to be honest with you.
I think that like, their ceiling is like 5 points.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Honestly.
And then they
that's,
have
plus 1,000. I think that's a really, really strong. Is there a bottom eight futures?
No.
That'd be because they. I mean, they'd be terrible. Be but
yeah,
I mean, what's Celtic's draw? I'm trying to like Celtic's a team that kind of stinks.
So like Celtic
they win their league all the time, but you watch them in international competition and they can't do anything right.
Yeah, Celtic, unfortunately for you, have statistically the ELO score, the easiest draw of every other team. They have Dortmund away, Leipzig tough. Home, Atalanta away, Club Brugge home, Zagreb away, Young Boys home, Aston Villa away, which is tricky. And then let's see, who's this? Who's their last one? Sparta, maybe? SLB. There's
Salzburg?
Three SLBs in this list. So that's
probably Salzburg?
No, Salzburg is SAL. It's not Stuttgart.
Bratislava, probably.
Yeah. It's one of those.
Oh, man. That's not that. What's their number?
Celtic plus 2,000.
Yeah, that's worth the shot. This is more fun than the fucking winner.
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably sprinkle a couple, right? You
that's worth the shot. That's
Sparta plus 1,000.
I could pick four of these teams
Celtic
for
plus
a quarter
2,000. Stade Brest plus 1,200. I mean, Brest have Barcelona away, Madrid home, Leverkusen home, Shakhtar away, Salzburg away, PSV home, Sparta Prague away. Honestly, it feels like it's going to come down to Sparta versus Brest. Like, I think I could see that match being, if someone gets 3 points there, the other one is probably getting.
Let's take some liberty here. Those I like those four teams. I'm getting all fucked up here.
Celtic, Brest, Prague.
Prague.
I think that's the three.
Got it. One more. Like, pick one other trash team, and we'll throw a quarter of a unit on each.
Man. I mean, Bruges at plus 1600, but they performed well. I mean, we were so wrong about Club Bruges this time last year, so I can't do that to them. Young Boys plus 900, Swiss team.
Yeah, who's their draw?
Young Boys. Barcelona away, Inter home, Atalanta home, Shakhtar away, Celtic away, Red Star home, Aston Villa home, Stuttgart away. You know what? The problem is they have a harder bottom half of the schedule than the other clubs. Yeah. Their soft spot is in that like pot three away game with Shakhtar being away and a little bit in the, sorry, that's a pot two game. The pot two away game is probably the easiest in Shakhtar away.
Wait, hold on. You want to hear one? I don't know their schedule, but I remember looking at it and I thinking it was terrible. What's Bologna to finish last? Honestly.
They are
darlings of last year. Plus 3,500. Okay, hit the schedule up.
Bologna, so I know they play Liverpool. Let me see where they are. Okay. Dortmund home, Liverpool away, Benfica away, Shakhtar home, Lille home, Sporting Lisbon away, Aston Villa away, Monaco home.
Where are the wins? Two wins maximum.
They should be able to beat at least one, if not two of the... They'll be close. I think they can get 4 points from the Portuguese teams, Lisbon and Sporting. Lille home? That's possible.
Tough draw for them, for a team that has no forward. Right now, they're starting literally some 19-year-old kid from Argentina that nobody's ever heard of, like as their forward for three straight games.
Yeah,
and now we're getting into Champions League. I don't know, man. That could be worth a little bit of a sprinkle.
We can do a quarter. They'll be our long shot quarter. They're plus 3,500.
There you go. So mark it down.
Divided by four. I mean, if they're our winner, then we basically get a payout of 9-1 essentially, and then everybody else will be some mix of 2-3-1. It's not bad.
That's where I'm at right now.
All right. Then we can kind of wrap things up. I don't know if you want to take a look at any of the overall futures. We have Golden Boot and we have to win the whole thing. I think our stance with winning the whole thing, if you like any of the top 10 teams, just wait. You'll probably get those same odds at the end of the group stage anyways.
And we always say this. So, like Manchester City is plus 250, Real Madrid's plus 350, somewhere in that range. If you like either of those teams, you can get probably that exact same number in the second round, right? We've seen that now for three or four seasons. So absolutely no reason to go any further than these group stage futures at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm kind of talking myself out of it, because I was going to say, if you like any of these clubs like Aston Villa, that's at plus 5,000 or higher, you can probably buy into them now and then sell out of it at the end of the league stage, but I'd rather just take them top eight, to be honest with you, because that's really what you would need to see those odds get slashed. You need to see them get into the top eight, and all of a sudden now they're, you know, four matchups away from the final, or three matchups away from a final.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's probably fair. You know, I was gonna say Villa at plus 5,000, I wouldn't mind taking a share of her. You know, even like a Benfica, like you said, every once in a while, one of these Portuguese teams comes out of nowhere. Benfica's at plus 10,000. You can buy a stock there. And if they finish top eight or they get a good draw in the round of 16. You're
more than doubling your money at that point.
Yeah. You can certainly sell out of it at plus 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, whatever their draw ends up looking like. And then lastly, we've got our Golden Boot. No surprises, Haaland, heavy favorite at plus 300. Still 3-1. I mean, you're basically just betting on him to stay healthy. That's if he plays, you know, City should, in all realisticness, get to at least the quarterfinals. Like, if they fall out in the quarterfinals, that's crazy, but you're looking at them through that many games. So that's 10 games for, or actually quarterfinals would be 12 games. If Haaland is available for all 12 of those, maybe they, he doesn't play the last game in the league stage, 11 games, he should have 10 goals, right? I think that's a pretty fair number. I don't know how many other players on this list you can look at and say that's a double-digit Champions League score. So Mbappe's plus 500, Kane plus 600, Salah plus 1200, Vinny plus 1400, Lewandowski plus 1600.
Yeah. Here's my issue with everybody else. Everybody, like you said, first of all, so I took the bet for Haaland to not stay healthy in the Premier League, and I picked a couple of other guys. Tony didn't even play a fucking game, so that one's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll get refunded, but he looks like he's shown no signs of slowing down, right? What's he got, 7 goals already through 3 games or something?
Yeah, fucking stupid. His 9th hat trick.
So
career.
The proof is in the pudding with Haaland, right? It's going to come down to how well Mbappe integrates with Real Madrid. And it's taken, you don't want to say 4 games has taken long, but feels like it's taken kind of long just because Real hasn't yet fired on all cylinders. The one thing about them that I've noticed so far, they are just looking for him. Anytime somebody has the ball in the box, like option one is look for Mbappe. Option two is to shoot or dribble or pass to somebody else. So if we think that continues, Mbappe represents a decent amount of value. I mean, this is, you know, somebody with a lot of Champions League games under his belt. How well he's performed or not is open to interpretation, but I don't think the number's bad. I don't know that I can get there, honestly, with anybody else, just because...
Challenge accepted.
Okay. So now I'm going to try and I want to hear it, but I think a lot of these...
I'm going to give you some names, numbers. I'm going to try to sell them to you. I'm going to cherry pick.
Okay.
Start off with the easiest one. I think I'll sell you on this one right away. Your boy Lautaro, plus 4,000.
Okay, because that's just an unfair number, right? That like that's too good.
I can
that's
tell you
too, okay, you got me. That's too okay. good of a number to pass up. So okay, I'll buy that.
Okay, this one's a little bit more of a sell, but I think it's interesting. Luis Diaz and Ollie Watkins are both at plus 6,500. Now I don't know that Aston Villa is going to get a long run of 10 or 12 games, but if they do, it's probably because Ollie Watkins played well right. and scored a bunch of goals. Luis Diaz has looked, again, great to start the season. I think has 3 goals already in 3 games for Liverpool. Certainly looks like he's finishing better. And with Jota, you know, playing up front as opposed to Darwin Nunez, it's a little bit more of a consistent service, I'll say.
Yeah.
Coming from the wing. And I think slot ball favors the wing players a little bit more. Yeah. So I think he and Salah will probably be the two heaviest goal scorers on the wing, assuming they aren't getting rotated heavily. And Salah's at plus 1,200. So,
and that's, you just made the case for why it's tough for me to go with either, because they're splitting goals, right? There's only one ball for this team. Everybody else is not really a true forward on Liverpool. So like, man, would it surprise me for Salah to like come out of the Champions League and have 10 goals? Like, no, of course it wouldn't. Guy's a fucking menace. But it's, you know, it's really just tough because none of them are really true forward, play that centrally the same way that Mbappe and Haaland do. That's my only drawback. And I mean, it's also going to come down to like which players are going to feast against these quote unquote bad teams or which players are going to get rested. Like, we know guy like Haaland's going to come in and he's going to put up 4 goals against fucking, you know,
yeah,
young boys or whoever the fuck they have to play.
All right. Well, our Bundesliga expert, Michael Scott, that we had on to preview the season 2 weeks ago, just told us Robin Lewandowski plus 1,600 is a great cherry picker spot. So maybe that's the other one I'll try to sell you on. Can you imagine Lewandowski in his current age leading the Golden Boot race plus 1,600, even if he has a good league stage? You know, that number probably comes down quite a bit. If he can get 6 or 7 in the first, you know, 8 games in the league stage.
Yeah. I mean, same thing, man. Thing is there, like a lot of other players have been scoring for Barca, right? I mean, not that how old is he now? 36, 35, yeah, 36.
35, I think
that brings it down just a notch for me. The pedigree's there. He's proven, but a lot of talent on that team, not a lot of ball to go around.
Yeah. All right. That was all I could sell you on. Because the other ones I ain't on here, if I couldn't get you on Luis Diaz or Ollie Watkins, I don't think I can sell you. I mean, layout plus 6,500. I don't think he's going to be leading a goal scorer.
No, he's not the leading goal scorer on his team.
Morata, I would never sell you on. That would just be mean. And then Vlahovic is the same, plus 4,000. I don't think you'll ever back Vlahovic. So
no way. I mean, how far are they going? One game into the second round, maybe?
If we're looking at plus 4,000, you know, Lautaro versus Vlahovic, that's an easy pick for you.
It's a no-brainer.
They're both the same number.
Absolute no-brainer. Yeah, and like any other guy, I'm looking at the list. I mean, nobody's a true forward. Like, could Saka score 5 or 6 goals? Yeah. Could Jude score 5 or 6 goals? Yeah. Could, I don't know.
Jota?
Who else? Foden? No, I don't know. Like, who's doing it?
Do you want Jota then?
No, because when I bet on him, he I know. Won't score for the rest of the fucking You're season.
Right. He would actually get hurt. If you put money on him as a future, he would 100% get hurt. He'd play fewer than four games in the Champions League.
I think Lautaro's the real long shot play here. I think Mbappe represents good value for a realistic option. You know, I say that and I backed the guy to get fucking 4 goals in the World Cup and he couldn't even do that. So maybe I've been fooled one too many times with Mbappe, but.
Yeah.
Who else is going to do it? Like Vinny Jr. I mean, he's not the goal scorer on the team anymore. So it just, everybody has flaws except for Haaland that really has no parallel on his team.
Yeah. All right. So I think to summarize everything, to finish the top of the league, I think our two picks were Bayern plus 800 was probably our favorite of the value. Liverpool at plus 1,000, just the way that they're playing. I think that's a decent shout. We had top 8. I liked Juve at plus 250, maybe plus 300, depending on what you're looking at. Aston Villa was probably plus 300, plus 400. I also kind of like that one. I don't know. Did you have a third that we threw in there? Inter was like plus 140, but I don't think that was one that we were really
fighting for. I like it, as in I think it's going to hit, but you can probably get them a money line any game for plus 140. So,
and then we did kind of a poor way to finish bottom of the table between Sparta Prague, Stade Brest, Celtic, and Bologna. I think Bologna was
those are my favorite
bets. 9-1. Everybody else would be between 2-3-1.
Those are my favorite bets. Absolutely.
And then we'll just ignore any sort of team future to win the whole thing. And Golden Boot, yeah. Kind of hard to buy anybody outside of Holland right now unless you want to take a long shot on someone like Lautaro at plus 4,000.
Yeah,
I think that's a fact. I think that's our summary.
Pretty well summarized.
Yeah. So congrats to everybody that tuned in for the last 3 minutes. You just saved yourself you got everything. 44 minutes.
No, appreciate you guys rocking with us. Like we said, it's really tough because all of the futures weren't out. I mean, like if we do a tournament like this, a lot of the most fun thing I feel like we've done lately has been like the team props. We'll play like over under and try to guess. And I think we got a pretty good track record there.
They killed my parlay. I love to take a six play
group stage winner
to advance kind of parlay, and you get a nice plus 3,500, you know, juicy line out of it. That's gone now.
Yep. So that's been rough, but international break. We'll see what we can do. Appreciate anybody that's been riding with us this year, not just this year, all the time. Everybody that's in the chat, appreciate your guys' support. We are off to a pretty scorching start this year. I think we've changed our format. We're trying to,
working,
obviously, you know, make this a little more fun, a little more interactive. We were like robotic giving out these locks at the end of every week and scrounging to try to get picks. Like, dude, you know, we say locks, they just mean our favorite bets. There's no such thing as a lock. I mean, let's get that out of the way.
Well, 3-0, my picks are locks right now.
But we were trying to give out like 3 favorite bets each, and sometimes there just isn't. So pretty much giving out really solidified like our 2, 3, 4 favorite bets as a group. Scotty obviously on fire. You see it under his name. He has not lost one of those yet. I think we're 7-2 to start off the year with like our best bets. So really happy. Gonna try to keep that going. And we'll catch you guys right after this international break.